أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Our dear listeners and the entire Muslim Ummah, in the continuation of the tafsir, the translation of the Holy Quran in the month of Ramadan 1441 after the hijrah of our noble prophet Muhammad Rasulullah, which is equivalent to the month of May 2020, by Sheikh Khidr Abdullah Maraya and his reciter Master Musa Madani. We are still in the commentary of the Surah Al-Baqarah. Akramukullah, bismillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله لا يستحيي أن يضرب مثلا ما بعوضة فما فوقها فأما الذين آمنوا فيعلمون أنه الحق من ربهم وأما الذين كفروا فيقولون ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا يضل به كثيرا ويهدي به كثيرا وما يضل به إلا الفاسقين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وآله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحبه جميعا حق قدره ومقداره العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Our great listeners, once again we come back to our English Quranic interpretation in this month of Ramadan, which has been transmitted on the Berekete Family FM radio station, courtesy of the Chief Executive Officer of the Eastern Station, in memory of his late father, Malam Isa Muhammad. May his gentle soul continue to rest in absolute peace. We are still in the chapter that is termed the cow, Al-Baqarah. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحَيِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا فَأَمَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأَمَا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا يدل به كثيرا ويهدي به كثيرا وما يدل به إلا الفاسقين. Allah says, إن الله لا يستحي أن يضرب مثلا. إن الله
لا يستحي أن يضرب مثلا ما بعوضة فما فوقها.
نعم. Allah says, verily Allah doesn't feel ashamed to coin a similitude even of a mosquito. The reason behind the revelation of this verse was the assertion of some Jews, polytheists, and unbelievers, idolaters, who were inhabiting the city of Medina during the lifetime of the Messenger of Allah. Their assertion happened when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a fly in the Holy Quran. He also mentioned a spider therein. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إن الذين تدعون من دون الله لن يخلقوا ذبابا ولو اجتمعوا له. إن الذين تدعون من دون الله. Those whom you worship besides Allah, لن يخلقوا ذبابا ولو اجتمعوا له. They cannot forever create a fly, even if they have congregated, even if they have amalgamated into whole one, even if they come together, all the idols to come together, all those who have been worshipped to come together, Allah says they cannot create a fly. So by mentioning a fly in that Quranic chapter, when the Messenger of Allah was still in the city of Medina prior to his demise, the aforementioned disbelievers, some of the Jews, the hypocrites, and the idolaters queried Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mentioning things that are very lowly, things that are very ignoble in the Holy Quran. They said, why did Allah mention things that are very lowly in the Holy Quran? How could Allah mention a fly? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions a spider in the Holy Quran, كَمَثَلِ الْأَنْكَبُوتِ, like the spider. So they equally said, what was the intention of Allah for mentioning things that are very lowly, like the fly and spider? Allah shouldn't have mentioned them, according to them. They thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could only mention things that are very, very esteemed, according to them. Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse with a view to giving them an answer in relation to the assertion which they made. Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ, verily Allah, لَا يَسْتَحَيِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا, does not feel ashamed to set out a similitude. He does not feel ashamed to coin a similitude, مَا بَعُوذَ, even of a mosquito. مَا بَوْدَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا, and what is bigger than it, and also even what is smaller than it. Allah doesn't feel ashamed to mention anything, no matter how highly or lowly, even of a mosquito, a similitude of a mosquito. Allah doesn't feel ashamed to mention it. Even something smaller than a mosquito, Allah could mention it, could coin a similitude with it in the Holy Book. He doesn't feel ashamed. Everything belongs to Him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحَيِي أَنْ يَدْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُودَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. نعم.
فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ.
But the believers would know that it is the truth from their Lord. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions something, no matter how ignoble or esteemed the mentioned thing is, the believers would know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned such a thing for a reason. فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ, they would know that this similitude which has been coined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with things considered to be lowly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reason for doing that. Such coining of similitude is truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There must be a reason behind that. The believers always discern that whatever Allah does, there must be a reason behind it. Whatever Allah says, there must be equally a reason behind the saying.
وأما الذين كفروا فيقولون ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا
وأما الذين كفروا But contrarily, those who disbelieve, the disbelievers, will say, ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا What did Allah intend by this coining of similitude? What did Allah intend by this parable? What did Allah intend by mentioning things which are very ignoble, things which are very lowly, things which are very inestimable, like the fly and spider? What did Allah intend by mentioning them in the holy book? Now, يُذِلِّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا he misleads many by it. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the basis of his wishes, misleads many by coining a similitude with things that are considered ignoble. Things that are considered lowly, like the spider, like the mosquito, like the fly, or even things which are smaller than they are. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coins a similitude with the aforementioned creatures, the disbelievers would ask the reason, would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the reason behind such citation. Why did he cite things which are ignoble, things which are lowly? By doing that, they will add delusion to their own delusion. They would go astray further. وَيَهَدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا And he guides many by it, that whenever he coins any similitude, some people will accept it. Some people will know that there must be a reason behind coining such a similitude with things which are being considered as inestimable and ignoble. يُدِلِّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهَدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَمَا يُدِلِّ بِهِ وَمَا يُدِلِّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ But he does not mislead anyone but the recalcitrant ones. The disobedient servants of his are the ones that are being misled by the coining of similitude in relation to things that are inestimable, things that are very lowly. Because they query Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever he does that, whenever he mentions things which are considered inestimable by humans. But in the sight of Allah, nothing is inestimable. Things generally belong to him. He was the one who created them. He was the one who brought them from nothingness to presence. Hence, there is nothing in the sight of Allah that is inestimable. There is nothing in the sight of Allah that is ignoble. There is nothing, no matter how lowly in the sight of humans, that is lowly in the sight of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned earlier, responded to the query issued to him by the polytheist, the hypocrites, and the Jews who were co-inhabiting the city of Medina together with him and his companions at that material time. In this verse, one of the lessons one could learn is that nothing is lowly in the sight of Allah. Because if one considers a fly as something that is ignoble, can they create it? A fly cannot be created by any person. In fact, if all the humans were to amalgamate with a view to create just one fly, can they achieve that? They can't. Presently, the world is inhabited by more than 7 billion and 700 million people. If the aforementioned figure of people were to come together to amalgamate into one whole, they cannot create a spider, they cannot create a fly, they cannot create a mosquito. Then why should humans consider any creature which they cannot create as lowly, as ignoble, as inestimable? So the verse indicates that nothing is lowly in the sight of Allah. In other words, nothing is ignoble in the sight of Allah. Anything you have seen in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it for a reason. In one way or the other, it has an assignment given to it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created it just for anything else but a purpose. It has a purpose which it always fulfills. We should also be according respect always to the entire creation of Allah, because we cannot create any of them. Then we have to accord respect to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions the mosquito. It mentions the mosquito in this verse. And contemporarily, a very worrying disease called malaria is caused by the mosquito. Because I could remember vividly in the year 2018, the world recorded more than 228 million cases of malaria, of which 213 million occurred here on the African continent in 2018, which accounted for about 93% of the total global cases of malaria that were recorded in the year 2018. In that very year, because mosquito is a very dangerous insect, it causes malaria, and malaria is very deadly. In the year 2018, globally, more than 405,000 people lost their lives consequent on malaria, of which 384,750 deaths, which accounted for 94%, took place on the African continent. This indicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really knows why He has created every creature among His unquantifiable creatures. Look at mosquito, it causes malaria, it kills, it is very dangerous. Look at the fatalities that were recorded just in 2018 across the globe. More than 400,000 fatalities were recorded in that year. Therefore, government at all levels should do all that they can to eradicate mosquitoes with a view to curtailing the mosquito attacks, with a view to waging a very serious fight against malaria, because it is very dangerous. It kills people a lot. Allazina.
الذين ينقضون عهد الله من بعد ميثاقه ويقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يُسَلَ ويفسدون في الأرض أولئك هم الخاسرون.
نعم. الله سبحانه وتعالى says الذين ينقضون عهد الله من بعد ميثاقه ويقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يُسَل ويفسدون في الأرض أولئك هم الخاسرون. In the verse which we interpreted prior to the recitation of this verse, which has just been recited by the reciter, we've heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُدِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. He does not mislead anyone but those who are recalcitrant, those who are disobedient. As if we have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, among your servants, who are the recalcitrant ones? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allazina yanquduna.
Allazina yanquduna ahadallahi min ba'di mithaqihi.
Naam. They are the ones who break the covenant of Allah after its ratification. They break the covenant of Allah after they have ratified it. They break the pledge which has been ratified between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his servants. Allazina yanquduna ahadallahi min ba'di mithaqihi, after its ratification. Because prior to our coming to this life, in the hidden life, we ratified a covenant between us and Allah, that when He brought us to the world, we would worship Him alone. We would live our lives in accordance with His instructions, in accordance with His teachings, in accordance with His tenets. That covenant was ratified in the hidden life. But the recalcitrant ones, after they have come to this world, they have decided to violate the sanctity of that covenant. Hence they are transgressors, they are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah here says they are the ones who break the covenant of Allah after its ratification. وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُسَلَ. And they also cut off what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded to be joined. What Allah has instructed us to join, the recalcitrant ones have already cut it off. They have already severed it. They have already amputated it. Allah here talks metaphorically, because He likens His covenant with a rope, that anyone who fails to sanctify the covenant which He has ratified between Him and His Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if they have cut off a rope. وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُسَلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ
أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ.
And they also commit mischief on earth. They break the covenant of Allah. They also cut off what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to join. They have not limited themselves to the aforementioned crimes. They also commit mischief on earth. Mischief here represents the commission of any crime on earth. Stealing, armed robbery, kidnapping, gangsterism, clashes among rival cult groups, political thuggery, among others. وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. Those are the losers. Anyone who breaks the covenant of Allah after its ratification is a loser. Why? Because their final abode is going to be the hellfire. Anyone who cuts off what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded to be joined, like the maintenance of kinship relationship, is also a loser, because his place of inhabitation in the eternal life is the hellfire. And anyone who commits mischief on the planet Earth is also a loser, because he is going to live in the hellfire. His place of abode is the hellfire. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here calls them generally as losers. They are losers. If you don't want to be a loser, then ensure that the covenant between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sanctified, is respected, is upheld. By doing what? By doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cherishes, and abstaining from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. By ensuring that you maintain the relationship of your kinship, relationship with your siblings must be sanctified. Relationship with your aunties, with your uncles, relationship with virtually all the members of your extended family must be sanctified. Because the verse also talks about the maintenance of kinship relationship. Also, relationship between you and other fellow human beings, regardless of any social leaning, be it religious, political, ethnic, tribal, national, or continental. Because human beings, regardless of any social leaning, belong to the same family. That is the family of Adam and Eve. Therefore, you should always do all that you can to ensure that that relationship is maintained by treating all and sundry with good conduct, by revealing excellent human qualities to any human being, regardless of their religion, regardless of their ethnic group, regardless of their tribal group, regardless of their political leaning in terms of political dispensation, regardless of their nationality. Are they from your own country or not? That means, are they your fellow compatriots or not? Regardless of also continental difference, are they Africans, are they Europeans, are they Asians, inter alia. Human beings generally always try to reveal excellent human qualities to them. By doing such, you have now decided to maintain what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined you to maintain. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined you to join. The verse also teaches us that the commission of mischief on earth is a severe transgression. Therefore, we should do all that we can to abstain from the commission of any mischief wherever we are. Commission of mischief includes killings, among others. You should not kill anyone. You should not be taking the laws into your own hands. Very sadly, between May 2015 and May 2019, consequent on numerous clashes in this our beloved country, Nigeria, we lost 25,794 human lives. This is very sad. Instead of us to assist the authorities in making sure that development and growth are achieved, but we always kill ourselves through clashes like the Hada farmer clash, political thuggery, clashes among rival cult groups, kidnappings, armed banditry, among others. In 4 years, clashes in Nigeria consumed the lives of 25,794 people. Just between May 2015 and May 2019. This clearly indicates that the commission of mischief in our country by us is very rampant. We should do all that we can to reduce it to the barest minimum, or if possible, to keep away totally from the commission of any crime. And if you look at the number of inmates that are currently inhabiting our 240 or thereabouts correctional centers, formerly known as prisons, one would understand that the commission of mischief in our country is very high. It's very unfortunate, because presently in Nigeria, our correctional centers, 240 or thereabouts, are being inhabited by 73,726 inmates, of which 51,983 are awaiting trial, while 22,773 have been convicted. This clearly showcases that the rate of crime commission in this country is very high. Therefore, we should do all that we can to assist the authorities by reducing the rate of crime commission, by even if possible, as I said earlier, to keep away from it totally. Because the money that is being used here to feed the 73,726 inmates daily would have been channeled to other developmental projects wherein not for their presence in our correctional centers. Also, disobedience to Allah is a loss, because it will warrant you to have yourself in the hellfire. Therefore, do all that you can to ensure that you keep away from any act of recalcitrance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam.
كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم امواتا فاحييكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثم اليه ترجعون.
كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم امواتا فاحياكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثم اليه ترجعون. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, كيف تكفرون بالله, all disbelievers, كيف تكفرون بالله, how can you disbelieve in Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here expresses surprise at the act of disbelief. He knows he is the solitary creator. Then why should anyone decide to worship something that has not created anything? كيف تكفرون بالله? How can you disbelieve in Allah? How can you disbelieve in me, says Allah, whereas I'm your creator and the creator of everything? The idols you are worshipping cannot create anything. They have equally been created. They cannot create anything. Then why should you be worshipping them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here expresses surprise at their act of disbelief. وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning some of the bounties he bestowed on humankind. وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا. You were dead earlier. You were dead. You were in the state of nothingness. وَأَحْيَاكُمْ. And he subsequently gave you life. Allah here refers to our status when we were in the wombs of our mothers. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us from a sperm, from a drop of sperm, among the numerous millions of cells that are found in just one drop of semen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just picked one and created you. You were nothing. He just picked you out of 1 million, out of about 100 million sperms. He picked one and created you. You were nothing. You were in the state of nothingness. But he subsequently brought you to the state of presence. He gave you life. He gave you life. Then why should you worship something which has not created you, nor created anything? وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. Allah gave you life. The idol you worship, what did you get from it? ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ. Then subsequently he will take away your life also. He will take away your lives.
Summa hiikum.
Then subsequently he will resurrect you. He will give you life again. Summa ilayhi turja'un. And you will be finally returned to him for judgment. You will definitely be brought back to him. You must definitely appear on the day of judgment, whether you like it or not. You must come back to him. You must be brought back to him. Here in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he was the one who gave life to us. When we were at the embryo stage in our mother's wombs, he gave us lives. Because he created us from a sperm out of more than 100 million sperms, which our fathers released during ejaculation. Out of the nearly 100 million sperms, he picked one and created you. Thus, he gave you life, even at the embryo stage. Because when we were sperms, we stayed in our mother's womb as sperms for 40 days. Then we moved from that stage to the stage of the clot of blood, the embryonic clot of blood. We lived in that stage for 40 days. Afterwards, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moved us to another stage, another embryonic stage. Now as embryonic lump of flesh for 40 days. Then after attaining the age of 120 days, in the wombs of our mothers, he gave us lives. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here. Then now, refer to the idol you worship if you are an idolater. What did the idol do to you? What did the idol give you? Nothing. Then why do you worship it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala queries here the idolaters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surprises here at their acts. I created you alone. The idol did not participate in your creation. No, created you alone. I was the one who created you alone. Then why have you discarded my worship at the expense of your own interest? Because whether you worship Allah or not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not profit from the worship. And also he will not lose anything if you fail to worship him. The worship you do in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your own personal benefit. Then why do you worship Allah together with others? Or why do you worship idols and forsake Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Life in the womb is certain. The verse also indicates that life in the womb is something that is indisputable. That means even when we are in our mother's wombs, we were living, we were eating, we were drinking, we were inhaling the air of oxygen. We were also moving in our mother's womb. But that begins at the age of 120 days in the womb. Prior to that, the embryo does not acquire life in the womb of the mother. Wallazi.
هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسويهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم.
هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us other benefits he has bestowed on us. He says, "Huwa allazi khalaqa lakum ma fil ardi jami'an." Allah is the one who created all that is on the earth for your own use. All that is on this planet earth was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the use of humankind. All that is on the earth, the mountains, the rocks, the rivers, the seas, the oceans, everything one can think of, everything, all the contents of the earth were created for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, idolaters, why have you decided to discard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the perspective of worship? Why have you decided to worship something that has not created even an atom worth of anything? Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here tells us about some of his bounties which he has bestowed on us. وَالَّذِي كَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Everything that is on the earth was created for us by Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ.
ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَسَوَّيْهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ.
نعم. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. ثُمَّ then, اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ aimed at the creation of the heavens. By saying ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, then he aimed at the creation of the heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implies that he created the heavens only after the creation of the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, tells us here that the earth was created prior to the creation of the seven heavens. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Then after he had completed the creation of the earth, اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ, he aimed at the creation of the heavens. فَسَوَّاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ. And he made the seven heavens. He made them to be seven heavens. He made them seven heavens. They are seven. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven, fourth heaven, fifth heaven, sixth heaven, and the seventh heaven. The Messenger of Allah saw all of them. He transited via all of them on the night of ascension. On the night he ascended even beyond the heavens with a view to having a courtesy call with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَسَوَّاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. Allah says he knows everything. وَهُوَ هِي Allah بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ knows everything. He knows everything. He is omniscient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here establishes the divine notion of omniscience. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He says this in order to inculcate in us that he knows all his creation. Look at the earth and all that it contains. The earth and all that it contains are known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how small something is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. The sand, just pick a sand, wherever you are in the world, it is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah knows that it has been picked by someone. The water you take is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rainfall that comes down from the sky, its quantity is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the quantity of the rain which he has sent down to Kaduna. He knows the quantity of rain that he has sent down during a particular rainy season to Zaria. He knows the quantity cumulatively he has sent down to Nigeria as a country. Allah knows everything. And he knows how many people have so far died since the creation of Adam to date. He knows how many people are going to die tomorrow. He knows how many people are going to die next year. He knows how many people died last year. In the last decade, he knows how many people passed away. So there is nothing that is unknown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse comprises numerous lessons, of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole creator of everything. The verse tells us and inculcates in us that Allah is the sole creator of everything and everyone. Therefore, those who worship idols should think otherwise, because what they worship have not created anything. The idols have not created anything. And if they were to amalgamate into one whole today, they could never create anything. Therefore, idols should be discarded. Idolatry should be discarded. Worship Allah alone if you are an idolater. Discard such a dastardly act. And Allah created everything on the earth for the use of mankind. Here, the verse tells us of the unquantifiable magnanimity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the entire planet Earth, whose land area is about 510,072,000 square kilometers. It was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. And all that it contains have also been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our own use and for free. Look at the oceans on this planet. Take for instance the Pacific Ocean, whose land area is about 165,250,000 square kilometers. More than one third of the earth has been filled with water by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Pacific Ocean. You can throw into it about 165 Nigeria. The entire country Nigeria is not up to, in terms of land area, it's not up to 1 million square kilometers. Nigeria is about 923,768 square kilometers. Even if Nigeria were to be 1 million square kilometers, the Pacific Ocean can contain more than 165 Nigeria. You can throw more than 165 Nigeria into the Pacific Ocean. Talk less of it coming together with the Atlantic Ocean and also the Indian Ocean. Look at the seas, look at the rivers, look at the mountains, look at the rocks, look at the trees. All created by Allah for us. The verse, as I said earlier, also tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth prior to the creation of the seven heavens. Even in one of the Quranic verses, Allah says, وَالْأَرْضَ بَعَدَ ذَلِكَ دَهَاهَا وَالْأَرْضَ the earth بَعَدَ ذَلِكَ دَهَاهَا. After that, he spread it. Dahaha, spread it, not created it. This implies that the creation of the earth took place prior to the creation of the seven heavens. This also underscores the importance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attaches to humankind. The angels live in the seven heavens, most of them. Allah here tells us that your earth, your place of abode, where you live, was created even before the creation of where the angels live. The verse also affirms the notion of divine omniscience, that Allah knows everything, has been affirmed here by this verse. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. He knows everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing that is hidden in the sight of Allah. There is nothing that is unknown to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For time constraint, this is where we are going to stop here today in relation to the English Quranic interpretation in this month of Ramadan, which is being aired to you on this very esteemed radio station, the Barakati Family Radio Station, courtesy of its Chief Executive Officer, Malang Ahmad Isa, in memory of his late father, Malam Isa Muhammad. May his soul continue to rest in absolute peace. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring an end very soon to the COVID-19, the pestilence that is currently bedeviling the entire universe. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم الصراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم وعلى آله كقدره ومقداره العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين